every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Hi, good evening, and welcome aboard to another edition of Sports Overnight America. We're wrapping up our stay in New York. We'll head back towards the Midwest, and away we go, talking the world of sports for the next hour here on Sports Overnight America, Sports Byline, iHeart, TuneIn, and also on the American Forces Radio Network worldwide. Dominic Jimenez along the way. We'll do some Mike Griffith, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's got the plum assignment for college football on Saturday, as he will be in Knoxville as the Tennessee Volunteers will take on the Georgia Bulldogs. So we'll get Mike here at about 23 to 25 after the hour. Might carry him for a segment or two. We'll let you know on that. But in New York, it's, U.S. Open tennis in the rearview mirror. Now you got baseball tonight in the Bronx as Detroit comes in. And you got a little Casey Mize taking on the Yankees and Will Warren. It's a little playoff feel to it. It really does. There's a little hint of fall, more than a little hint of fall in the air tonight. Bronx will be cool in the, upper 50s, and we're getting a little precursor. Could we see Detroit, the Motown Bengals, and the Pinstripers of the postseason? We most certainly could. Yankees really have come on only two back of Toronto, and Toronto's got Houston, the Red Sox, hoping to fatten up. Out on the West Coast, in Sacramento, they're taking on the Athletics. So we will, I think, see a potential shift here in the atop of the American League East. But we'll recap the NFL. J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings with a rollicking comeback. Boy, the night game, Sunday night and Monday Night Football, both featured pretty substantial comebacks. So, NBC and obviously ESPN Monday Night Football, they got a nice little bump when you get games like that. You're watching late into the night. You're tempted, and in some cases you do. You turn off the game, and you wake up the next morning, much to your surprise. So yeah, Minnesota 27-24 over Chicago. And Dom was right. I got to give Dom right. I didn't realize this. Daniel Jones engineered a scoring drive in every single Colt possession on Sunday. Every single one. And Manning never did that. I don't think a quarterback in their history has ever done that. I know Andrew Luck never did it either. But anyways, there you go. So we come back. We get it started. We'll open it up with myself and Dom and then Mike Griffith right around the corner here on Sports Overnight America.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today.
Every champion has a team behind them, and for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
All right, talking of the world of sports here on Sports Overnight America, wrapping up a little foray to the East Coast in New York, where Yankees, Tigers, Jen and Jeff, the Riches, will keep you updated throughout the night on the as they get on here during Sports Overnight America, alternating hours throughout the night, get you updated on that. But, yeah, Yankees, Detroit, big, and then they head to Boston. I believe it's a four-game series, so you'll get Red Sox. Red Sox will be coming back from the West Coast. I'll tell you what, teams coming back from West to East with a big series like that, I would think you wouldn't have that letdown, because the Red Sox, when they return, and the Yankees will just make a short jaunt, obviously, from New York up to Boston. But I think that that's going to be a mid-football with all the stuff, you know, college football, you know, Thursday, Friday, NFL, obviously Thursday night football, and then your weekend, and then you got a double dip on Monday night. You got Sunday night football, another marquee game. So, you know, baseball, it needs something, at least from my perspective. You need that Boston, New York juice to kind of with a race going on to keep me, you know, a little jacked up. But, you know, listen, football's king. It really does. You look at the numbers. You know, the everyone, you know, talking about the YouTube game, they did numbers, and I don't think there was the same issue they had before with the streaming glitches and things like that. But I think the number I saw was somewhere between, I want to say 14, maybe 17 million, but I think it was more like 13 or 14 million. With the Chiefs in San Paulo opening up their season and getting beat, oh, by the way. So, yeah, and, you know, I think there is some Chiefs fatigue. There was Chiefs fatigue. There's been Patriot fatigue. You know, there was a time when you had Niner fatigue, and you have, you know, what do you want to call it? You want to call it dynasty fatigue? I'll give you that. So that's where we get started as we roll into the middle of September this weekend. We got Yankees, and we've got the Red Sox at Fenway. So that'll be huge. And we'll see what Toronto does. Toronto's going to, you know, they got Houston. They've been taking on a little bit of water of late. So the Jays have had their wings clipped a little bit, but they're not going away. Out of those three teams, I think the team most capable of making the run is the team that has sustained first place pretty much for the balance of the season, except for a really, I mean, the Yankees at one point, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to go back. I always say this, and I forget to do it. But there was through 60 games, I want to say the Yankees were either, I think they might have been 20 games over 500. And then we'll all remember the Yankees just went through an absolute disastrous slump. Boone couldn't get it right. I mean, he just couldn't get it right. Every move backfired. They got hurt. Giancarlo Stanton has been, you know, almost like a statue up there. He either hits a ball a million miles and poses. He can't run. He can't run a lick. He doesn't run out of ground ball. If he doesn't hit the ball in the gap, or if he doesn't hit it beyond the fence into the seats, Giancarlo Stanton is basically a rickety, broken-down player. I hate putting it that way, but he doesn't run. He can't run. And you can't put him in the field because he has no mobility. So, you know, and then you had the Judge injury, and you've had the pitching staff has just been all over the place. They've been all over the place. So we shall see. The Red Sox consistently have been, you know, kind of a spotty team too. I mean, consistently, you know, they put together a nice run, and then they consistently went into a protracted slump. So I just find that division, the American League East, to be pretty entertaining. You know, but if I look at the balance of the power baseball-wise in the American League right now, I think it's legitimately – and Detroit, don't forget, went through a midseason slump too. So I think what you have to say right now when you look at the American League East, it's going to be the team, or teams plural, that I think finished the last week of the season heading into postseason – A, number one, healthy, and B, you know, playing, you know, solid baseball. Volpe has been an unmitigated disaster. I mean, he's getting pep talks now from Derek Jeter saying, hey, you got to fight your way through it and grind your way through it. Look, we've seen other guys. I mean, I remember when Edgar Renteria showed up in Boston, he hated the culture there. He hated the city. He wished he had never gone there. I forgot if it was a free agency signing with Renteria. I mean, we're going back a ways. But he hated the city. He didn't like the pressure. He didn't like the closeness of the fans. It just was not a good fit. Volpe, who is a New Jersey guy, if memory serves, so he knows what the New York culture is like. He knows what it's like to play under that microscope in the Big Apple. And last year, don't forget, he hit that huge home run against the Dodgers. The Yankees were giving their fan base a hint that they were going to, you know, really, really take the Dodgers to the limit, and we all know what happened in that fateful inning. Gerrit Cole doesn't cover first, you know, the whole thing with Rizzo, and the drop ball by center fielder Aaron Judge, who's clearly out of position. He has no business playing that position. He's not a center fielder, but, you know, he's arguably one of the most feared hitters in the game. You know, I'd be more afraid of Ohtani if I had to face one guy that I didn't want to face. It would be Ohtani. I don't want to face him. Now, Judge would be probably number two. But the fact of the matter is this. You know, the Yankees, you know, have just been all over the place this year. And defensively, they've been terrible. Their base running has been horrible. They don't play any small ball. It's feast or famine. So it is going to be a situation where I don't trust the Yankees really as far as I can throw them. Don't trust them. So we'll see if they can get their house in order, because they'll have to get hot at the right team. And that's something you can't even crystal ball. Meantime, in the National League, I find that equally as fascinating. San Diego can't get out of their own way right now. Padres are a mess. The Dodgers are all over the place. But in the totality of it, you know, the baseball players don't want to admit this, but the 162 games is a grind. This time of year, they're all taking on water. You know, they're taking on water. They're running on empty. Use any cliche you want, but the fact of the matter is, but there are teams that have the talent, and I'll use the Dodgers as Exhibit A. There's too much talent on that team for them not to get jacked up. In other words, the light switch is going on in postseason. And so and that annoys people, because people say, well, you know, yeah, that's not true, blah, blah, blah. It's true. There's teams that get up. Every team does, but some more than others. When you've got the preponderance of that talent in Southern California with the Dodgers, and you can also make the case for San Diego, because I think San Diego's pitching is actually better than the Dodgers. So therein lies the interest with me, is because I do think the National League World Series participant is coming out of the National League West. I think it's going to be the Padres or Dodgers. You want to throw up another team? You want to tell me about the Phillies? I'll listen. You want to tell me about, I'm trying to think who else I would, you know, I think it's among those three, really. Philly. Well, I got to put Milwaukee in there. What am I talking about? You got to put Milwaukee in there. What am I thinking? So I'd say Milwaukee in this order. Dodgers, Padres, Milwaukee, Philadelphia. And people say, well, hold on a minute. How about the Brewers? I'm going to throw out the idea, not that they peak too soon, but I think it's going to drive people crazy that either the Dodgers or the Padres are going to emerge, because you know what? They're going to flip that light switch on, that postseason light switch on, and I think they'll emerge. I really and truly do. I wouldn't mind Milwaukee getting in. Milwaukee's been a great story. I mean, they put together one of the longest, most impressive month and a half from, you know, after the All-Star break until actually right about now. I mean, they've dropped a few, but this, you know, you look at that record since the All-Star break, you want to call it unceremoniously the halfway mark of the season. Brewers have been unbelievable. Unbelievable. But for a while, the Marlins were doing great. The Red Sox were doing good, but they came back to earth. I just think you're going to see it go the other way. I think the Padres are going to find themselves. I think the Dodgers are going to find themselves. And we're going to find out what Milwaukee's all about. All right? So that's where we'll go. We'll do the baseball maybe a little bit later on. We'll come back on the other side. Mike Griffith is making his way over the mountains and through the woods, driving over from Atlanta to Knoxville, Tennessee. Getting ready for Georgia and Tennessee on Saturday.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane. And you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak. And there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
All right, talking the world of sports here as we roll on here on a Tuesday into a Wednesday here on Sports Overnight America. Marty Trail here on Sports Byline. Making his way from Georgia over to Tennessee, getting ready for a big one in Knoxville. Michael Griffith of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Michael, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Marty. Thank you.
Looking forward to this. What time's that game kick on Saturday, by the way? Is that a night game or a 3:30 East?
That is a 3:30 p.m. ABC game, college game day set on hand. A lot of hype in Rocky Top.
Yep, indeed. All right, let's look back before we look forward. Who's got the hottest seat in college football? Is it Billy Napier? I mean, it's got to be. And another dopey player spitting in another person's face in the heat of battle, I'll give you that, sets up the game-winning field goal. I mean, a couple plays later. Sets up the game-winning field goal. South Florida picks him off. Billy Napier, hot seat. Let's hear. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I thought he had an amazing turnaround last year. In fact, I don't know that I'd ever seen a coach have a midseason turnaround like that. It seemed a foregone conclusion that he would be fired last year, and then the Gators were able to turn around and close the season, multiple wins, and open this season with a convincing win, albeit against a much lesser opponent, but we knew South Florida could be dangerous. I mean, they did beat Boise State in the opener, and maybe you shrug it off and say, yeah, well, maybe not the same Boise State. But South Florida came to play, kept themselves in the game, and, you know, you mentioned it. You know, there was, you know, the personal foul penalty. There was also a pass interference, and
yep,
paved the way for an Automatica Grammatica, you know, the next generation of Grammatica to come in and kick the game-winning field goal. Big win for the Bulls.
No question about it, and you're right. First week, they blew out Boise State, and we arched a few eyebrows right there. All right, let's continue on the beat of college football eyebrow archers. I mean, West Virginia, I mean, Rich Rod, his second foray there in West Virginia, in Morgantown. Let's go there, and I'll tell you right now, Ohio U gets Ohio State, so this will be a short-lived celebration. But I tell you, these MAC teams, the top end of the MAC, if you're not careful, you're getting smacked by a MAC team. You just are. They're very, very sometimes loosey-goosey. And a team that you sometimes convince your players that if you're not careful, you're going to get beat, they don't believe you until it happens. Go ahead. Tell me about Rich Rod, West Virginia, and then we'll look at Kansas State and a couple of others. Let me hear.
Rich Rod, you know, I remember Terry Bowden telling me one time that Rich Rod was one of the richest coaches out there, not because he was making so much, but because every time he got fired, he'd get all this buyout money. You see to yourself, well, yeah, that's kind of true, isn't it? They get paid for multiple years at once when that happens. But no, I mean, that's a creative coach that's been able to do more with less. And as far as the MAC, Marty, I feel like it's haves and have-nots. I mean, you know, the problem, or I don't know if you want to call it a problem or just the way things are, is that the best players out of these programs get picked off. And it's really hard to build a program now if you're not a Power Four conference or if you can't pay players. I mean, Notre Dame, obviously, an exception to that rule. But without a payroll, it's hard to keep your best players. I mean, my goodness. I mean, Alabama had players picked off. I mean, look at Ohio State's roster. You know, Ohio State's done a tremendous job getting some of Alabama's best players. And you know, Justice Haynes with a 75-yard touchdown run from Michigan, and Alabama people are saying, boy, Cinderella a little bit, but as you said, on occasion you'll see some of those smaller schools rise to the occasion, and on any given Saturday, right?
Yeah, I want to get to Iowa State here, and then we're going to get to your game. We're going to do two segments because you sound loud and clear, but I guess I want to just go with you saying that, you know, Arizona State last year dismantled Iowa State. they get picked off. I mean, it's been the first 2 weeks have been absolutely crazy. What else have you seen that's caught your I mean, we knew that Arch Manning was going to right the ship against a weakling like San Jose State, but you know, I mean, Army picks off Kansas State. Chris Klieman there singing, maybe not for his supper, but things are getting a little bit, you know, a little tense in Manhattan, Kansas. Go ahead, give me a couple takes on a couple of more eyebrow-arching situations in college football only 2 weeks in. Let me hear.
Yeah, you know, tough week for the Big 12, as you said. And, you know, Kansas State ain't who we thought they were. You know, I mean, you haven't been the same since they went overseas, I guess, right? But, you know, you've got to give a lot of credit, where credit's due, as far as Mississippi State beating Arizona State. You know, they went out to Tempe last year and only lost by a touchdown. And, you know, we hear so much about SEC stadiums and night games and on the road. And, you know, Mississippi State played great. They had a goal line stand late to hold the Devils to a field goal. And then, you know, Blake Shapen, a guy that was injured last year early, he's come back. He looks good. And, you know, the cowbells were ringing deep into the night. You know, tough loss for a Big 12 team. And then, you know, Mike Gundy, which let's give him the amnesia award this week, Marty, because it wasn't so long ago that T. Boone Pickens and Oklahoma State was, you know, somehow they were getting all these players before the NIL, and Gundy came out and kind of ran his mouth about, you know, the Oregon payroll, and Dan Lanning didn't like it, and I think the final score was 69-3, and, you know, it doesn't make sense. You know, Mike Gundy is kind of like the Fonz jumping the shark. I mean, you remember when Mike Gundy was a commodity? I mean, that program is spiraling fast, and you know, that's not good. So, you know, those are tough losses. I wonder how good BYU can be this year. I think they're dangerous. You know, they play so late into the night, a lot of teams don't see them, but I think that's a pretty good football team. So I don't think the conference is dead. Kansas put up a pretty good fight against Missouri, but, you know, that's another tough loss. That's actually a decent Kansas team. Let's stay tuned and see if they can bring some respectability momentum. I know they've got some facilities movement there, and we know how important that is. So, you know, the Big 12 right now, though, not playing the most prominent role. Marty, I'd actually shift it over to the ACC with the Miami Hurricanes and Florida State looking a lot better than we thought, and maybe too early to give up on Clemson. So.
Well, I agree, and listen, Georgia Tech, anybody that thinks that their mincemeat is in for a big surprise. I'm glad you brought up Gundy. Do you realize he's been in Stillwater for 21 years? But he opened his big mouth, you're exactly right, and now I tell you, he's not going to survive it, because that's a bad football team. That program, the wheels have come off, and the cotter pins are flying. I think Mike Gundy is very much in danger there. Hey, give me a quick hit on Iowa State. I mean, we mentioned the Big 12. We'll get to the ACC and obviously your game on Saturday with Georgia and Tennessee. But how about Matt Campbell? I mean, Iowa State's in the driver's seat right now. In the next 4 weeks, they're going to be favored in all four games.
Yeah, this is a really good football coach, Marty, and we've known that for a while. You know, beating Iowa, that's big. Obviously, that's a rivalry game and, you know, kind of plants the flag. And, you know, I think probably makes Iowa State the favorite, but I'm amazed. I'll be honest. I'm amazed he's still there. I really think this is one of the best coaches in college football, and if you can build a program there and sustain, I mean, that's a mouthful. You know, there's not a lot of real great in-state recruits. It's not a real high-profile institution, and yet every year it seems like Iowa State is a team that has to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and I don't know if he would look at Florida. If Billy Napier gets fired, does a guy like Matt Campbell get approached by Florida? I mean, a lot of people think he's going to, you know, he's ultimately going to be an NFL coach, and I know it drives the Cyclone fans crazy up at Ames because they hate it. They hate every year having to deal with that talk, and he said, this is the program I can build. It's a program I like. My family like it. The kids like the school system, so you never know. Sometimes those sound like throwaway lines, but apparently not in this case. Give me about a minute on Arch Manning. I mean, look, we knew what happened at Ohio State, but that's just a way to get into a rhythm, is it not, these next 3 or 4 weeks with him before the game at Florida?
Yeah, you know, the schedule lightens up after, you know, they just played San Jose State, and they got a couple other cream puffs on their schedule before they'll play Florida. But, you know, I just think you got to kind of build the guy up mentally, and I don't want to belabor it too much, Marty, but it's disappointing that Steve Sarkisian didn't have Arch ready for the moment. I mean, you had to know that moment was coming, playing yep. Ohio State on the road. You've got a great defense that you can put up against Arch every day in practice behind closed doors. You know, this is a guy with a high acumen, a lot of talent. You know, that was just a real fail by Steve Sarkisian. And, you know, now with the expectations, you know, I think people expect Texas to be able to win the SEC. I think with the payroll they have, I think now that you have to compete for the national championship. And I'd say last year they didn't win the SEC, but they got pretty deep into the playoff. I'd say that represented progress. But they may have a hard time matching that, especially once the SEC schedule gets redone and turns into a nine-game schedule. You know, Texas has had a very friendly schedule its first 2 years in the league. It's going to be more challenging moving forward. But, you know, if Manning is ready to go when they play the Gators, and looks like we thought he would look at the start of the year, this is still a really dangerous program because that defense is truly one of the top three or four defenses in the country, I believe.
No, I don't disagree. They got a great quarterback here, but that was an unmitigated disaster. All right, we'll come back. And we'll say for Oklahoma, maybe a little bit of a hit there, but I'm so jealous. What a game you're potentially going to see on Saturday. I think it's going to be unbelievable. So we will preview Georgia, Tennessee, and like you said, ABC 3:30, and the whole world's watching because this is your primo game, and you got Notre Dame, Texas A&M. Need I stay away from that game because that should be a good one. And last year we saw, you know, Notre Dame obviously put together a great run, but, you know, they didn't ultimately finish the job. So, Mike, you sit right there. We'll get to you coming back on the other side here, and then we'll close out the hour with some thoughts. We'll, you know, the baseball stuff's getting good as well. NFL week number two as we get it rolling here on Sports Overnight America. Mike Griffith of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We'll bring them right back. Don't go away.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hey, rolling along here as we count down to the weekend and college and pro football. So, Mike, you make your way over to Knoxville. You get there middle of the week. You got plenty of advanced stories to write. Give us kind of the lay of the land for you as you get ready for this game on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously going to be a tremendous environment. With, you know, we mentioned game day there, and I do think that adds to the hype. You know, so it's just another layer, kind of puts a magnifying glass on the game and the setting. And Tennessee has a great football setting. You know, Neyland Stadium sits on the Tennessee River, and you know, later in the season when the fall colors pop, it's pretty extreme. But, you know, they're going to checker Neyland, Marty, and they're going to color coordinate the stadium into orange and white. And it makes it, you know, have this really nice aesthetic value. It's something unique about college football, one of those things that separates it, I believe, from the NFL. You know, that, you know, the marching band, the tee as it opens up. And Georgia fans will tell you the tradition of Georgia winning, because they've won the last eight in this series. And Tennessee feels like they're ready to get over the hump. You know, they've beaten Alabama and Florida each two out of the last 3 years, and this is kind of next on Josh Heupel's checklist.
I was going to say, it's going to come down to, he's got to win it. All right, so obviously, you know, a big advantage, I think, for Georgia is they do have Alabama, but they've got a bye week before they have to worry about that. You know, they really do. They have a bye week, and if they didn't, you could probably look at this a little bit different. Does the look pass factor go completely out the window because of the bye week for the Bulldogs?
Yeah. It goes out the window anyway. I mean, if Tennessee starts winning this game again, you know, and I know NIL money talks loudly, but Tennessee would love to get back into Atlanta prominently when Philip Fulmer was winning national title, when he won his 1998 national title, and was playing in all those SEC championship games. They had a lot of kids from Georgia in there. You know, but you got to beat Georgia to be able to recruit against Georgia. I mean, the money is obviously a factor, but, you know, right now, I mean, Georgia's hands down been the better program in the head-to-head comparison. And, you know, if they can get some momentum going, because, listen, they got a great AD. They got a lot of money. Their facilities are all caught up and even ahead in most cases. I mean, Tennessee is positioned really well athletically if you look at them across the board in basketball and even in their non-revenue sports, baseball, track, softball, you know, and football is like that one step away. So this is a really big game for Tennessee. It's a big game for Georgia, too. Now, Alabama has a bye week, too, Mark. I'll point that out. The Tide's got Wisconsin, so both Alabama and Georgia have that bye week before that game in 2 weeks. But neither one of these programs, Alabama or Georgia, can be overlooking anybody. You know, Georgia hasn't looked scintillating on offense. The defense looks great. But the offense has had questions, and Tennessee's defense isn't too bad. So it's going to be interesting to see who forces turnovers and gets the early breaks and the momentum in this football game.
You know, I just think right now, Tennessee, I don't know. I still think there's got to be, and you would know better than me, 10 times more than I would, but I got to think there's still, is there a deer in the headlights intimidation factor that really the Volunteers kind of get blinded by Georgia? I mean, it just seems it to me. Now, I, you know, you're very much up front and close to it. Is there that intimidation factor? Is Heupel the type of coach that can get his guys to stare that down if it does exist? Let me hear what you have to say about that.
Well, I mean, I think Georgia's defense in general, you know, intimidates a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, Kirby Smart does a great job with his pressure packages. They've been able to play well with Tennessee. They're able to substitute quickly and keep up with Heupel's hurry up. That's something that throws a lot of teams off. But, you know, I like to say Georgia has the best best hurry up defense in the country, because they're able to match speed and tempo with Tennessee, number one. Number two, the way Tennessee spreads out. I mean, Josh Heupel does a great job with his formations, opening the field up. You got to have some pretty elite defensive backs. And Georgia's typically pretty good in their defensive backfield. And then thirdly, because you're playing so much in space, you got to have a really good tackling team. And, And this is why Georgia's been such a good matchup for Tennessee, because they're able to check all those boxes. I don't know that it's intimidation for the quarterback so much as the reality of pressure and guys coming to hit you. And, you know, Joey Aguilar, the former Appalachian State quarterback that, you know, had a couple of UCLA in the spring, he hasn't seen a defense like this. This is going to be interesting. Conversely, Gunnar Stockton, he hasn't played on the road. He's played on neutral sites, but he hasn't played in Neyland Stadium, which I believe is one of the top five venues in the nation. I think it's vastly underrated. I know how loud it gets in there. Those stands are vertical. You're going to have 102,000 people there and a really hungry, rabid fan base. I mean, it's been a long time. Tennessee hasn't played an SEC title game since 2007, Marty. It seems crazy to me. But, you know, but they could be on the brink or on the verge. And beating Georgia, though, that would be a very big first step for the Vols.
Be huge. All right, let's give Clark Lee a shout-out in Nashville. I mean, I love the Vandy story. You know, we thought, you know, obviously you sat there and watched him pick off Alabama last year. Granted, they, you know, it's the start of the season, but how is he doing it? I mean, how is he doing it? We know he's got some Notre Dame lineage there. How is he doing it right now in Nashville with the Commodores?
Well, I mean, he's a program guy, right? So, number one, he truly believes in what he's selling and what he's coaching and how he's coaching it. And I feel like Middle Tennessee football, just the high school football, has gotten much better. You know, one of the things that happens when cities boom and sprout some of these suburbia areas is it seems like that population kind of helps the recruiting base out a little bit. And Middle Tennessee has grown, and that Murfreesboro area south of there, there's a lot of really good football programs. There's very good private football in Nashville as well. So I think that gives the Commodores a little bit more of a in-state recruiting base. I know Georgia's dipped into Nashville as well. In fact, you know, Georgia's next great quarterback, this Jared Curtis kid, let me tell you, Marty, we're going to be talking a lot about him in the future. They're saying he's like Josh, looks like Josh Allen at the high school level, but I digress. I think Vanderbilt's been able to do more with some of the in-state kids, and I think Clark Lee's an intelligent coach that knows how to coach him up, and you can't ignore Diego Pavia. I mean, this guy's iconic with his performances. I mean, he's the closest thing we've had to Doug Flutie with some of these heroic performances, and you know, just being so playing so big in such a small package, the mobility, the confidence. I mean, a guy like that having a catalyst like that, and what is this, his sixth or seventh year? I guess he was able to successfully get another year of eligibility. So
yeah,
I mean,
he sure was.
I mean, they're not the only one. They're not the only ones now, so, I mean, it is what it is. So you put all those things together, and now Vanderbilt has to decide if they want to spend money and be a good football program, because I think the potential is there, as you said.
It's great. Hey, real quick, you know, a former Vandy guy, James Franklin, is Penn State being overlooked early on this year? They just look so good on both sides of the football. Penn State, and then you kind of give a gold star for Oklahoma. That's a nice win over Michigan. I know you got the coaching situation in Ann Arbor, but Venables has had some real struggles there in Norman, and I thought that was a big one. I almost saw it coming, too. I really did. I had a hunch that Oklahoma might really, really, really come prepared to play, and they did. So, quick hit on James Franklin, Penn State, and then Oklahoma and Venables. Let me hear.
Yeah, you know, start out with Venables. You're right. He's a good guy. He's a good coach. You know, obviously he was key to Clemson winning some national titles when he was a defensive coordinator. And, you know, it's just not as simple as getting plugged into another program. And, you know, all things aren't equal. You know, it's like Brian Kelly told me last week, you know, nobody's going to come into the SEC and just out-scheme or out-coach people. You got to have talent. And this model's changed for Oklahoma. In fact, Missouri arguably has done a better job spending money on players than Oklahoma. And I don't know if you would have seen that coming, but you got to give Missouri credit. A lot of those guys in Missouri might have been at Oklahoma otherwise. But a big win, and obviously, you know, John McTeer, now he's currently the Heisman favorite. A big win for Oklahoma. They got a really rough schedule ahead, Marty. It's too soon to throw a parade, but winning against Michigan, you know, that was definitely a must-win. And what was the other game? You mentioned Notre Dame and C.J. Carr, I guess. So Notre Dame, C.J. Carr against Marcel Reed. Now, he left the game against A&M, but you know, Coach Elko said he's expected to play. So there you got a good battle of quarterbacks. It was a big game last year. That was an important win for Notre Dame when you think about it. If they don't beat A&M, they probably don't make the playoff because they had the horrendous loss to Northern Illinois. So this is one that the Irish have to take care of business now. They've got a loss. Back to the wall, they got that loss to Miami. So I think this is a really important game, really for both programs, both of these programs, college football playoff contenders.
How about Penn State real quick? Are we overlooking them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't overlook them. I mean, they're ranked in the top five. We don't talk about them as much because they haven't had that marquee opponent yet. But, you know, you look at the quarterback play, you look at the running game, the kids that decided to come back for another year, obviously another 100,000-seat stadium. And I think James Franklin is a guy that's probably a little underrated. I know he can be a bit polarizing for some people, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's a pretty good football coach. And, you know, if they beat Notre Dame, you know, who knows, you know, what happens in the national title game. You know, they played Ohio State pretty tough last year. So right now, though, I mean, I guess I would still say Penn State. I know Ohio State's ranked higher because they beat Texas. But, you know, I think Penn State's probably the best team out of the – I'm going to call it the conventional Big Ten because I just got this Oregon itch. I've got this Dan Lanning itch, and I've got a bad pun. I think the Ducks might be everything they're quacked up to be this year, Marty. I'm not going to overlook the Oregon Ducks.
Mikey, I'm with you. I really am. Hey, the other thing I'm going to tell you right now is I love having Miami relevant, and I'm telling you, you were right. Carson Beck, I think everybody's chasing him for the Heisman. I really do. I really do. I like having Miami. They're the team everybody loves to hate. And, you know, they got one of the best campuses. It's a great college campus, and they've had their years. Give me a quick hit on Miami. We only got about a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, Carson Beck is, you know, he's all grown up. I mean, a lot of growing pains at Georgia. He even said that. You know, he said, hey, I had to grow up. I was selfish there, and he had to learn, and he did last year. He really turned it around late in the season and helped lift Georgia into the SEC title game. Of course, he was injured, and Gunnar Stockton finished the job. But if Carson doesn't turn it up a wick, they were down 10-0 to Tennessee at the end of the first quarter, when Carson Beck lowered his shoulder and ran over a Tennessee defender, and you know, and the Dogs caught fire and finished the season strong enough to get into that SEC title game. And now he's got an opportunity. And I'll say this, Mario Cristobal, after meeting with him and some of the players at the ACC Media Days, it's an impressive program. And I know Mario Cristobal is a guy a lot of people criticize, but he's got something to prove too. And I think there's a lot of people with a lot to prove in Miami, and in the ACC they can do that. But you know, hey, Florida State, Marty, but let's not overlook Florida State now. Let's remember how they started the year, and let's keep an eye on Mike Norvell. I think the Seminoles have something to prove this year, too.
Hey, look, it after a two-win season, after all those expectations, and to do what they've done so far, rather, is just nothing short of mind-blowing. So you are right about that. All right, Rocky Top, I know you're making your way over to see your daughter. You have a good midweek, and we'll talk to you soon, Mike. Great job out of you, as always. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Marty. Have a great one.
You got it. You got it. Mike Griffith, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And he's got his eye on the Dogs. And they are actually favorites on Saturday at Neyland Stadium, 102,000, 103,000 with standing room. Going to be outstanding, so we look forward to that. That is your headline game in college football. But, hey, I got my eye on UMass, right? UMass is going to go into Iowa City all hot and bothered, having lost to Bryant, of all teams. Do you hear me? Bryant. North Smithfield, Rhode Island. And, by the way, I believe that's a Division I school. I'm going to double-check that. But I believe that is a D1 school. And the Bryant Bulldogs picked off UMass. How bad can that be? They're bad. And I believe they're about a 40-point underdog at Iowa City against the Hawks, who are going to come in off that loss over Iowa State, and they're going to look to take a pound of flesh from someone, and it'll be the unsuspecting Minutemen. And that game will be over in a minute. All right, so there you go. All right, we'll come back. We'll do a little tube talk. We'll go inside the numbers, a little WNBA to light up your Tuesday, and obviously the baseball. We're coming right back here to wrap it up in New York here on Sports Byline in Sports Overnight America.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
All right, talking the world of sports, and Dominic Jimenez sends it down the line. Eddie Pinheiro has been signed by the Niners. Jake Moody waived. Obviously, George Kittle, former star at Iowa, all pro tight end, on IR. So he will go 4 weeks. And I believe their last game of that four games that he will be out is a Thursday night game, if memory serves. So he'll be out like 3.5 weeks. But we shall see there. And obviously they're banged up in the quarterbacking situation with Brock Purdy. You got the Saints on the road this week. So, you know, it's an easy call for Shanahan and company with the Niners. But, yeah, so Pinheiro came in, probably won a kickoff, and he will, not like kicking off a game, but competing against another free agent kicker, and he gets the nod for the Niners, who are coming off a win over Seattle. But when is winning losing? It was when you lose your quarterback, you lose Jennings, you lose Kittle. You know, your kicker has been terrible. I think he had 10 misses in 2 years, not even 2 years, a year and a game. So that's not going to cut it in the National Football League. Moody will catch on somewhere. It's a good kicker in college at Michigan. But yeah, he needed a change of scenery because zero confidence. He had a zero confidence in that coaching staff. You know, when you're trotting a guy out there now, I mean, 60-yard field goals are a dime a dozen. We're going to see one over 70. It's coming. And we could have had one on the weekend. I mean, that kick, I'm trying to think who it was that kicked the 60-yarder to win it. Anyways, I forgot the game, but anyways, it would have been good from 70. It would have been good from 70. We've said that about a lot of other kickers. So, all right, Dominic Jimenez, great job out of you. I'm off tomorrow. It'll be Giovanna Scroggins in the air chair. for Sports Overnight America. We're back with you Thursday and Friday. We'll be back in the Midwest. We look forward to it. For Dominic Jimenez, thanks to Mike Griffith as well, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, our college football insider. I'm Marty Terrell here in New York. Adios. Enjoy your Tuesday into a Wednesday on Sports Byline and Sports Overnight America. Adios.